Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. My guest today was scheduled for last Friday, July 25th, but we had technical difficulties, so we're bringing him back today because he has very, very important information to give us. This is a show that is definitely going to open your eyes to something you probably never imagined was possible. Just to make sure my guest is here, I'm going to say hi, Bill. Are you there?
Hi, Randy. I'm here. Sure am.
Okay.
And I'm glad
okay. To
be here this time anyway.
That's excellent. I'm going to read your bio. Just hang on a second so I can give you your accolades, okay? Bill Henderson is a cancer coach who has been on a crusade for the last 16 years, ever since his late wife's torturous 4-year experience with ovarian cancer, to find a better way for people to heal from their cancer. After helping over 5,000 patients in 68 countries heal themselves of their cancers, Bill feels he knows why people get cancer and how they get over it. His mission is to spread that message to as many people as possible, which is my mission as well. In addition to being the best-selling author of 3 books on natural cancer healing, Bill has produced over 200 very popular 1-hour weekly radio shows where he interviewed cancer doctors, dentists, and survivors. He has published 186 free newsletters to his audience of 38,000 readers. He has made many presentations all over the U.S. and Canada on his favorite subject of natural cancer healing. In January of 2014, Bill celebrated his 82nd birthday. That's really great, Bill. So, hi, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I want you to know that I read your book, Cancer Free, and This is a book that everyone should have at their immediate disposal. It gave me a very good understanding of cancer, and now I no longer fear it. I know how to prevent it, and you have also given me a clear plan for healing should it occur in me or anyone I care about. So thank you for sharing this incomparable wealth of information with us.
Well, thank you, Randy. That is my primary objective, to help people overcome any fear of getting cancer or of dealing with it if they've been diagnosed with it. And this is not easy. People have to do some research on their own because, you know, they're going to hear some pretty frightening things from the doctor generally. But basically what my book is based on is trying to convince people that there is a lot of ignorance and arrogance in the medical community, and that basically they have to heal themselves.
That makes great sense. So in 2007, you were in an interview, or Dr. Levy interviewed you, and mm-hmm. he said that in his study of root canal teeth, he had examined 5,000 of these teeth after they had been recently removed. He said that each tooth was tested in a lab, and every one of them had toxins coming out of it that were more toxic than botulism. So
that's correct.
Right. So what are dental toxins?
Well, essentially they are produced generally when there is a lack of flow of oxygen through some portion in your mouth. For example, a root canal filled tooth is essentially a dead piece of bone in the person's body in their jaw. There is no blood circulation through it. The bacteria in teeth, which are always there and circulating through our teeth all the time, actually, if the oxygen is deprived, as it is in a root canal, the bacteria, they have an instinct to survive, like all of us do, and they survive as what are called anaerobic bacteria, which means they don't require oxygen. They can live without it. And they do that in the dentin, it's called, of the tooth. We can talk about, you know, the specifics more later. But basically what they put out is something called thioethers, which is a gas that is extremely toxic. And this is what Dr. Levy and Dr. Hal Huggins, you know, found and, you know, published books about back in about 2000, I think, is when they published this one.
So do we have any indication that this bacteria is growing in us? Do we experience swelling or pain when this bacteria is there?
No, it's interesting. There's no swelling, no pain involved generally. You know, most people think of dental problems as some kind of pain, swelling, whatever. In the case of a root canal filled tooth, what's happened is the nerve and the pulp surrounding it in the center of the tooth has been removed all the way down into the roots, and that's why it's called a root canal, which is kind of a misnomer, really. What it is, basically, is a tooth where the root canal has been dug out and filled with a substance called gutta percha, which is just a rubbery type substance that used to be used inside of a golf ball many, many years ago. But that's generally what they put in the tooth with the idea of cutting off the circulation through the tooth. Well, about 100 years ago, it was discovered that that doesn't work. Root canals were, were researched in depth, finishing up 20 years of research in 1923, believe it or not. And this group of 60 dentists that studied root canals, led by Dr. Weston Price, published their findings. And what they found was that there was no safe way to do a root canal filling, that this killing basically the circulation through the tooth, which is what a root canal procedure does, resulted in bacteria that were in the dentin of the tooth, which has millions of little tubules, as they're called, which is little holes and connecting lines between them. Even in the smallest tooth, there are literally millions of these little tubules, and that there's no way to sterilize those, which is what the endodontists, who are the root canal specialists, what they allegedly do, basically, is sterilize this dead tooth that has no circulation. It's just a piece of bone. Supposedly sterilize it so it can stay in your mouth and still look normal. You know, that's what a root canal is supposed to do. Well, it was found that these root canal fillings were the source of most chronic degenerative conditions, including cancer. and this was published in a study, actually 1,174 pages of research, in 1923. And after reviewing it in 1925, the American Dental Association decided to suppress it and not publish this study. And you wonder why? Well, at the time, the idea of what is called focal infection was controversial. What focal infection means is that an infection somewhere in your body can affect organs that are distant from it. And this whole study of root canal filled teeth was that the root canal filled tooth in the mouth was causing, you know, cancer in all the organs in the body, was causing heart disease, fibromyalgia, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, all kinds of things. And the ADA didn't buy that because at the time it was a questionable, it was not a proven scientific theory, this focal infection it's called. Well, that focal infection theory is taught now and has been for about the last 60 years in medical school, in dental school, everywhere. But the ADA, believe it or not, is still in denial of what I'm telling you, okay, about root canal.
It's unbelievable. So they're teaching it in their schools, and these dentists are aware, yet they're producing endodontists that continue to do this procedure. How absurd.
Well, technically, in dental school, as I understand it, and I've worked with lots of dentists, dozens of them, who have reformed themselves by, you know, continuing their education about physiology and its relationship to the teeth and so on after dental school. And what they basically told me is that very little about physiology and its relation to the jaw and the teeth is taught in dental school. That do not literally understand the intimate relationship between our teeth, our jaw, and our organs in our body. For example, there are four molars on either side of our mouth, two upper and two lower, that are directly connected to the mammary glands, and they are the cause of about 98% of breast tumors.
Well, you know, when I talked to you last, you were talking about thermoimaging and how it shows these red lines between, you know, this root canal area and the breast cancer site. Can you tell us a little more about thermoimaging and what it shows us?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I work with quite a few doctors who do a lot of thermography, it's called, thermograms, which are basically a study of the heat in our body, in various parts of our body. And the thermograms of the upper body, which include the mouth, the head, obviously, generally show a relationship between a cancer tumor and a hot spot in the person's jaw. For example, I've seen dozens of these of breast cancers, which included the head, where the hot spot in the root canal was directly over the breast tumor. And in fact, in two or three of those, I've seen a thin red line between that hot spot root canal and the breast tumor itself. Interestingly enough, our friend Dr. Thomas Rau, RAU, who is the head medical director of the famous Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland. It's been a cancer clinic since about 1957. And for the last 30 years or so, they have had, as part of their intake process, a dental section. Every cancer patient that comes to that cancer clinic in Switzerland gets their jaw cleaned up by this dental section, including removing any root canal filled teeth, cleaning up other jaw problems that are infected and so on, before any cancer treatment is done. And Dr. Rao, who is the director of this clinic, is a Canadian, decided in 2004 to do a little study, and he pulled out the last breast cancer records of patients who had come to the clinic and found that 147 of those 150 women had root canal teeth directly over the breast tumor, the original
Amazing.
Breast tumor.
Amazing.
I mean, that's, what is it, 98.5%, something like that.
You know, I didn't know about this, but apparently you came to the villages in Ocala, Florida, where my sister lives, and so she told me about this, and I have a sister-in-law who has breast cancer, and she's very young. She had it very young, and there's no breast cancer history in the family, nothing like that. So my sister calls me panic-stricken, and she says, did your sister-in-law have a root canal done? And I said, I really don't think so. She's very young, and I don't remember any of that happening. She said, well, ask her. Well, when I saw my sister-in-law, I asked her, and she said, as a matter of fact, I did. And she said, and it was very bad, and I had infections, and I had all kinds of problems with it. So I explained it to her, and she looked at me kind of like sideways, you know, like, really?
Pretty good.
Meanwhile, she's already had two bouts of breast cancer, and she's been through the horrible chemo treatments and radiation, and her body is ravaged with different problems permanently as a result of these things. So I really wish that I would have known this, not to say that she would have been open to receiving this information, because not everybody is.
I know.
So what is the Breast Cancer Society, you know, the American Cancer Society say about these breast cancer connections with the root canals?
Oh, they're in complete denial about it because the ADA itself has a official position that, you know, root canals are fine. You know, there are lots of endodontists, root canal specialists, about 7,000 of them, something like that, in this country. You know, their income is dependent on being able to do root canal fillings. One of them was Dr. George Meinig, who passed away about, about 8-9 years ago. But after he retired in 1995 as an endodontist who had founded the Endodontist Society, the organization of endodontists, back in 1947. He retired in 1993 and discovered this literature that I mentioned about the root canals that was written in 1923 after he retired. And he became so shocked about the fact that for almost 50 years in his practice that he had ruined people's health by doing root canals. So he decided to try and what I call a mea culpa, you know, apologize to people, and wrote a book called Root Canal Cover-Up. That book is still available in Amazon. Root Canal Cover-Up. It's by Dr. George Meinig, M-E-I-N-I-G. And he was not only a dentist, but he was a fellow of the American College of Dentistry. And he tried to, in the last... Well, he must have lasted until about 2008, I think. The last 15 years of his life, he tried to, to get to people and pass this message on to as many people as possible, you know, to never even consider getting a root canal filling done because they're so deadly. But his book summarizes all of this research done back in the early 1900s that I mentioned.
This is just, you know, this information is so, I guess, appalling that our health is being subjected to this by practitioners that we trust. So, I mean, how many, are there many dentists or endodontists out there that are competent?
I would never trust an endodontist because their business is doing root canals. But
okay.
In the dental community, and I've been, you know, trying to find these dentists and having people give me feedback on on dentists that they found that they trust and so on for at least the last 14 years or so. In the American Dental Association, there are 160,000 dentists approximately in the United States. Of those, from what I know, I would trust less than 50. Less than 50. That's 0.3% of dentists, okay? That's how rare these people are. Now, obviously, doctors know nothing about this, Randy. Nothing at all, okay? They think this is the dentist business, and they're trying to treat someone with cancer. And I've asked all these 5,000 people I've worked with the same question over the phone, most of them Skype and so on, all over the world. Has your cancer doctor ever discussed your dental history with you? The answer is always no, 100% of the time. In other words, the cancer docs know nothing about what I'm telling you. The dentists are in denial about it because that's their official position of their union, the American Dental Association. So, you know, hey, you're not going to hear about this from very many people. You know, there are a few doctors that I work with that know about it, and there are about, I don't know, 37 dentists that I'm very familiar with in the United States that I refer people to, and a few dentists in Europe and Australia and Canada and so on, very, very few, that I can refer people to that are competent to do what they need done to their jaw to clean it up correctly. That's
and
how rare
called,
these people.
These are called biological dentists. Is that what you refer to them as?
Yeah, there's no control over that term at all. There are people who call themselves biological dentists who do not have this knowledge and this experience, you know, to clean up your jaw and your teeth correctly. See, if you get the root canal tooth removed, I mean, almost any dentist, if you went to them, not the tooth. But they do not know, they do not have not been trained to clean up the socket correctly. And the socket is, you know, of course, in the jawbone where the tooth has been removed. And what's been proven, and, you know, the statistics are available now, the ligament surrounding the tooth is always 400% more infected than the tooth itself in a root canal. The dentists don't know to remove that ligament. You know, by abrading the jawbone itself is always infected from the root canal filled tooth. And the dentists don't know how to properly clean up that socket so that it, you know, doesn't just heal over and the infection remains there in the bone, literally, and it still affects your body the same way as if the tooth were still there. This is the problem. The dentists do not have this knowledge. Except for these few, you know, that I'd say about 37 that I know personally. There may be another dozen or so in the United States, but no more than that.
Does the same thing apply to wisdom teeth that are pulled?
Well, yeah. Basically, that's a very good question, because what they've discovered by this research that's been done on this over the last really 100 years is that normally when a wisdom tooth is removed, and I've had my four out when I was 22 years old. Most people have had at least one or two, maybe all four of them out. What they found is that if that tooth was infected, the wisdom tooth, and the jawbone surrounding it when it's removed is not cleaned up correctly, that what you get is a similar thing to a root canal filled tooth. It's called a cavitation. Not a cavity, but a cavitation is just a description of a hollow spot in the jaw bone where the tooth has been removed that is surrounded by infected bone that was not taken out when the tooth was pulled. And what that hollow spot represents is an area of the bone, it's called alveolar bone, which has no circulation through it. Well, this reacts similarly to a root canal filled tooth where there's no circulation, and the anaerobic bacteria form in those cavitations. In fact, what develops is what's called necrosis of the jawbone, which is another name for gangrene, basically. It's an infected bone that is still growing, you know, very, very slowly. If you had gangrene in your leg or your arm or something, it would grow very rapidly, and, you know, you'd probably have to have some kind of amputation or something. The gangrene in the jaw is unique. The alveolar bone grows very, very slowly, and so this will spread very slowly to other teeth and other portions of the jaw, but very, very slowly. And mostly what it causes is, again, this, botulism form of toxins that are coming out of this cavitation that are similar to a root canal filled tooth. And, you know, this is what these dentists correct, basically, all of this stuff.
Right. And in your book, I think you have a list of dentists that you've found that are competent to do this, right, in this book,
Cancer-Free? No, they're not in the book because the list is kind of dynamic, basically. When I get a bad feedback from somebody about one of the dentists on my list, I take them off the list. So, you know, I add dentists to it and take it off, you know, almost every month.
Right.
So I furnish that list to people that I do coaching for, basically, the current version of the list, so that,
okay,
you know, they get a hopefully good dentist.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that coaching in a minute. But I have one more question about the toxins. How do they leach out into the body? Are they circulated through the bloodstream, the fat cells? How are they getting into our body to affect these other parts of our physiology?
Yeah, good question. The circulation through the jawbone, where our teeth are, is constant. And all of these root canal-filled teeth create gases, like I mentioned, it's thioethers that go out through the enamel of the tooth and down through the root of the tooth into the bloodstream, basically. They get into the jawbone and they get into the bloodstream and they travel to all parts of our body. What most people don't realize is that each spot in our jaw, there are 32 of them, you know, 16 upper, 16 lower, each of those 32 spots in our jaw or teeth are connected to certain organs in our body. And, you know, these connections are very intimate. You know, so when there is toxic stuff coming out of a root canal or a cavitation site, based on the Chinese meridian system, you know, where there are certain organs on certain meridians and so on, and certain teeth are connected to certain meridians, but it's not quite that simple. Almost any organ problem can result from almost any tooth anywhere in the mouth. It's not just, you know, the ones that are on the particular meridian that the tooth is connected to, but the connections between the jaw, the teeth, and the organs in the body are very intimate. And people need to be aware of this. One of the websites I would send people to where they can see this, and there, several of the dentists I work with have this same chart on their website. But the idea is to be able to look on the computer at a diagram, a picture, really, of the mouth, all 32 teeth, and be able to click on one of them and see the organs on the screen that are connected to that tooth. This website is a friend of mine in Mesa, Arizona, a very competent dentist named Dr. Mike Margolis, and his website is called MyDentist, D-E-N-T-I-S-T, A-Z for Arizona, .com, MyDentistAZ.com. If you go to that website, see this chart, and it's very, very informative, believe me, for people to understand this relationship between their teeth and their body's organs.
So for anyone listening that is now panicking because they have had a root canal, what should they do?
Well, of course, if it were me, I would have it removed by a competent dentist as soon as I could get that done.
You're talking about having the tooth pulled, correct?
Yes, but again, having it done by somebody who has the experience to clean up correctly the socket surrounding the tooth.
Okay.
You know, you don't just want to go down the street to the dentist and have these things taken out. I would do that immediately from what I know if I had one of these in my mouth. The effects of it, interestingly enough, for cancer that I found, because I talked to a lot of people about how the cancer developed and what happened to them, you know, in their life before the cancer was diagnosed and so on. In about 70% of the cases, there is clearly some trigger of the cancer that is caused by some emotional trauma or some stressful period that the person goes through. And the most common scenario I found for cancer is that people have had these dental toxins, you know, like the lady you mentioned with the root canal, they've had them for decades in many cases. They get them done in their teens or 20s or whatever. And they go through life reasonably healthy. You know, their immune system is handling all this toxic stuff that we talk about. And then they go through a stressful period in their life, and the combination of those two things overwhelm their immune system, and they get cancer. This is a scenario I run into every single day, Randy.
Wow. That is, I don't even know what to say. I just think that is so amazing. And I mean, I'm doing the show because I want to support you in getting this message out. Of course, you know, for the longest time I've been saying, I know they know how to solve cancer or cure cancer or whatever. Why aren't they doing it? So, you know, it is so such a relief to talk to you and read your book and find out what the real causes are and how we can actually get rid of them. So you're a cancer coach. What do you do as a cancer coach?
Well, I try to help people get the resources to take advantage of what I found as the primary causes of their cancer, you know, that all these people really have taught me, you know, that I've talked to. You know, so I, in addition to, you know, going over any kind of question they have from reading the book and trying to change their lifestyle and take supplements and all that kind of thing, what I spend most time doing with them is discussing the resources for dealing with these issues that I talked about, the stress issue, things in our subconscious that have happened to us in the past that are still affecting our health. You know, there's a relatively simple way to deal with that that doesn't cost very much, and it can be done at home, and it's quite simple, and I talk to people about that. Then I talk about the dental issues and how common it is, like we've been talking about it today, and try to get them. If I need to nag them, I do, believe me, because frequently people, you know, they're frightened of going to the dentist. They think it's really painful, which it's not anymore, but or it's too expensive or whatever. But I try to get them to go to one of these dentists and get their jaw at least evaluated for inflammation, which is the key here. And these dentists do a very good job of that. So I refer them to a good, competent dentist. And then, of course, we talk about reforming what goes in our mouth, which is the other cause. There are only three major causes of cancer, you know, stress, dental toxins, and what we put in our mouth. That's about it.
You had explained in your book about how, let's see if I can get it right, how these cancer tumors form. And basically you were saying that they're encapsulated. When we go for biopsies or we have these things removed, we release these cancer cells into our body. If we would leave them intact and just do a healthy protocol, we would be much better off, right?
Yeah, pretty good summary. The cancer cells, of course, are in our body every day. Most people don't even think about this. They think cancer is some kind of invading thing from outer space or somewhere that's invaded their body with this tumor. The cancer cells are there every day. You know, our immune system is handling them, but they're there by the hundreds of thousands or millions every single day as a result of our cellular metabolism. The cells, you know, they divide about 300 billion of them every day in our body, and a small percentage of those have mistakes made in the process of division caused by damage to the cell, generally damage to the both the cell membrane and the cell nucleus. And the cell has, you know, before it divides, it has changed from a breathing cell where it breathes in oxygen, breathes out energy, and so on. It has changed because of the lack of oxygen available to the cell can take up. It changes into a fermenting cell. Well, that's what a cancer cell is. In order to survive, the cell changes to fermentation, which means it looks for sucrose, glucose, all kinds of sugar, basically, to feed its fermenting process, a cancer cell is. And when that cell divides, of course, it divides without the ability to kill itself off if it's abnormal. You know, that portion of the cell's nucleus, the DNA, has been damaged. So the cell is a cancer cell. It divides. And it continues to divide indefinitely. Well, the immune system says, oh, this is not normal. This is not a self cell. I need to kill it. And it does, generally. In most people, it controls the number of these cancer cells every day. Well, what happens, you know, with cancer tumors, which is about 90% of cancers, the cancer cells exceed the ability of the immune system to handle them because of the reasons we talked about, and they accumulate somewhere in a particular organ. There are a lot of theories about why they accumulate somewhere, but they do. They gather, and the body recognizes that its immune system has not worked. The body is very smart. It has a backup system, which is wrapping these malignant cells in tissue. That's what a tumor is. It's cells that have been wrapped in tissue by the body to keep them from spreading elsewhere. Well, obviously, the malignant cells inside the tissue continue to divide out of control, and that tissue gradually, that tumor gradually gets somewhat bigger and eventually gets diagnosed and noticed, okay? And the doctors attack it with surgery, cut this thing out of your body, or poke it with holes for what's called a biopsy to figure out what's inside this tumor. Well, both of those functions cause the tumor and what's inside it to spread elsewhere in the body, which it may not have done if it were left intact. Of course, if something has to be done if it's going to continue to grow. Something has to be done to start causing it to shrink and cause the malignant cells to die, and that's the kind of thing we talk about. You got to change your body's physiology to get the immune system strong enough again to deal with this thing called a tumor. And it can present in forms like leukemia and lymphoma and melanoma and so on that are not tumors, but it's basically the same thing. It's an excess of cancer cells that your body needs to deal with. And believe me, the worst possible thing you can do is go to a cancer doctor and get poison put in your veins called chemotherapy to supposedly kill off these cancer cells. Because what that does is damage your immune system further. You cannot get cancer with a strong immune system. I don't expect to ever get cancer. I may, but if I do, I'll know what to do about it. But the reason is I pay a lot of attention to keeping my immune system strong. Well, when people get cancer, if they get smart enough, they realize that if they restore their body's ability to handle cancer, the cancer is going to shrink up and go away, which it does.
That makes perfect sense, and I hope it does to my listeners. It's certainly the approach I would take. I mean, I always said that should I get cancer, I would never get chemotherapy because I know what it does to the body. I know you never recover from that cancer in one way or another, whether it's getting more cancer or getting more issues around that immunity problem. So you have a website, beatingcancer-gently.com. And I guess on that website you have a lot of information about, you know, how people can get in touch with you, and you also have a radio show. Are you still doing that show?
No, I haven't done it for a couple of years, but they've been rerunning I did about 220, I don't know. Anyway, they're kind of timeless, so they've been rerunning them for a couple of years. I quit it when I turned the big 80 in 2012. I said, I don't need this deadline every week anymore. So, you know, they've still been running the reruns on it. But, yeah, the radio show is interesting and helpful for people, I'm sure. The website is Beating, B-E-A-T-I-N-G. Folks, write this down. You want to look it up. There's a lot of free information there about cancer, and people, you know, can learn a lot there without spending any money at all on it. It's Beating, B-E-A-T-I-N-G, and then a hyphen, cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R, another hyphen, gently, G-E-N-T-L-Y.com, beatingcancergently.com. You have to put the hyphens in there or you get some screwy website.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great. Unfortunately, our time is running out for today, but I am so thankful that you agreed to come on this show and share this knowledge with us. I think that you could potentially save many lives today.
Yeah, I wish I could do it to more people, you know, more easily. And this is one of the ways that's wonderful to get people's attention, get them started reading, maybe doing a little research on their own, and
right.
Learn, you know, what I've learned in the last really 20 years studying this, I guess.
And now with texting and with social media and everything, things catch fire very quickly. So let's hope that this topic is one of them. So again, Bill's book is Cancer Free, Your Guide to Gentle, Non-Toxic Healing. And Bill wrote it with Dr. Carlos M. Garcia together. And right now it's in the fourth edition. So every time he gets updates, he updates the book. But I want to thank you again so much for coming on. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Randy, and I hope this gets to lots of people and it helps them. That's what I'm here for, basically, and will be for as long as I'm going to be around. And thank you, really.
You do a great job. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
So, bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Unfortunately, our show time is up for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. You know me on the radio, and now you can speak with me privately and confidentially on the telephone about any issues that concern you. And for more information or to make an appointment with me, just go to the website Clarity, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y, /Randy-G-Fine. Okay, again, that is clarity.fm/Randy-G-Fine. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. There's a button above every show that allows you to become a follower, and you'll be notified of every show that comes that's coming up. And more followers is going to get the show the recognition that it deserves. There's even more inspiration on my blog, randygfine.com, and please join the list of devoted followers there. Again, you'll get an RSS feed that we'll send you every time I post something. You'll get it in an email. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait.